The new film Smallfoot is out tomorrow. Think Bigfoot from the Bigfoot's perspective. The hero is a fictional animal called a Yeti who comes to believe in the existence of the Smallfoots, that is, humans, which goes against everything his fellow Yetis are taught. The movie has a number of songs, including this one performed by Common.
There was a time when Yetis lived beneath the clouds. We were alive and we were thriving till we came across a crowd of Smallfoot. That's right, we used to live down there. But there were actions we could not forgive down there.
Joining us now is Kerry Kirkpatrick, who directed and co-wrote the film. He also wrote that song and four others for the film. He's in London. Kerry, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we're also joined from Detroit by Kerry's brother, Wayne, who co-wrote those five songs. Wayne, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And Kerry, I want to start with you. This is basically the Bigfoot story turned upside down. What appealed to you about this movie?
Well, in animation in particular, premise is everything. So Bigfoot in reverse, the minute I heard that, I thought, yeah, that's a good sandbox to play in. Anything that kind of flips the point of view around, and so we get to look at us as the weird animals, That's always a fun arena.
We don't come across that well as humans in this film.
Yeah, there's a lot we have not to be proud of, yes.
Now, when you write the music for this film, how do you start to do that? Are there certain points where you think this has to have a song here?
Well, the decision to make it a musical actually came pretty late. The studio underwent some leadership change in late 2016. Allison Abate came in as the new head of WAG, which is Warner Animation Group. And Allison was familiar with the musical that Wayne and I wrote for Broadway called Something Rotten. And she just said, you know, I love animated musicals and music only for me helps elevate animation. And could this be a musical?
And Wayne, let me bring you in here. I mean, what's the process like of doing something like that, of writing these songs for this movie?
We just kind of start diving in based on the direction that Kerry was giving or the direction that they needed to go for in a particular scene. And just kind of started throwing out ideas back and forth, you know, sending, hey, what about this? What about this? You know, and just kind of trial and error.
Well, we started with an opening number, which at the time was called Ignorance is Bliss, which was an idea that we were sort of using as an overarching belief that the Yetis have, because they have these stones that are where their laws are written on, and the leader of the village is called the Stonekeeper, and he wears these laws on a robe of stones. And one of the big things is you never question the stones. All the stones are true. And then one of the stones was ignorance is bliss.
Well, and the message that's sending to the little kids, and when I saw this film, I was in a theater filled with little kids, you know, that you've got to question authority, that you shouldn't just take what's given to you and never ask any questions about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we were tapping into things that kids find frustrating. I mean, how many times has a kid been told, because I said so?
Right.
So, you know, the movie does have a lot of messaging in it that's very pertinent for what's going on in the world today. But it's not like kids don't quite understand just these basic, don't question this, just do what we tell you. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we were having fun with satirically in that opening number. And then we kept that idea alive in the opening number that we have now, which is a song called Perfection. Ego, our main character that Channing plays, Channing Tatum, singing that you don't ask questions,
right?
And it's perfection.
Look at everybody do their part, and they do it with a happy heart, and it gives them all a sense of greater purpose.
So you set up that people shouldn't ask any questions, and then we get to another song in this film. It's called Wonderful Life. This is performed by Zendaya, who plays the daughter of the Stonekeeper that you were talking about, who believes in the existence of the human or the small foot. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that.
Full of
Wayne, tell us more about this song.
The song at its core is kind of saying that you should feel free to question, and there's nothing wrong with being curious. To me, that's the essence of that song. So I think it's just the pivotal moment in the movie where it's opening Migo, the main character, opening his eyes to the possibilities that there are things out there beyond just what have been explained to him.
I have to say that in watching this film, I thought of the movie Trolls, which had the breakout song hit written and performed by Justin Timberlake, Can't Stop the Feeling.
Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you, so just dance, dance, dance.
Are you thinking that some of the songs that you wrote for this movie are going to become hits kind of independent of the movie, Carrie?
You know, you don't plan on that. That's sort of gravy. I do think Warner Brothers was excited about the idea that a lot of times songs can get out there and get into people's heads and become a little bit of a calling card for the movie. But I don't think Wayne and I sat around and went, ooh, let's...
this is going to be a hit.
No, I think you have to...
Can't Stop the Feeling.
Yeah, I think you have to, first and foremost, let it be at the service of the movie and the story. And if you're trying to just write a hit, then you might overshoot the point of the song within the story.
Always, you know, we're looking at, do these songs tell the story and do they evoke the emotion that we want to evoke here?
You got
to
make the song sing.
Yeah,
so
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the general rule in musicals is that the emotion gets so strong that there's nothing left to do but sing.
Well, let's listen to another one. This is one that may sound very familiar to people. This is Percy's Pressure. It's performed by James Corden, who voices Percy.
I thought I'd made it celebrated when I got my TV show. But the haters out there hating got my ratings low, low, low. It's hard to compete with videos of twerking hogs and water skiing squirrels and monkeys riding on the backs.
So this is, of course, based on the song Under Pressure, which was written and performed by the band Queen and David Bowie. I wondered, as I was listening to this in the film, how hard it is to do a song that's so close to another song. I mean, are there legal hurdles beyond belief to get something like that through?
Oh, yeah. Well, this song actually started, you know, we were trying to write something original that said to Percy, you know, what Percy wanted in the movie, James Corden's character. But it takes place inside of a place we call the Yak Shack, which is like a climber's outpost, and it's a karaoke bar. So the idea kind of popped up. It's like, what if a tune starts like a karaoke track, and it would have to be a really iconic track that everybody knows, and then he starts singing different lyrics. In a meeting, I just kind of said, you know, it'd be something like Under Pressure. And everybody went, oh, well, that's kind of perfect for the moment. So kind of banged something out, and then played it and storyboarded it, and then we had to get Queen and the David Bowie's estate's permission. And the response that we heard back was, nope. But at this point, I was so feeling like, well, this works so well in the movie, and we started storyboarding a sequence and we're having fun with it. So what if I write an impassioned letter to, you know, the surviving members of Queen, which I did, and explained to them how this worked in the story, how reverent we were, what fans we were of Queen, and, you know, how respectful we would be of the material, mm-hmm. and sent them the song. And we got an email back from Brian May, who said, I love this, and this song actually started as an improv. So he said, the way I see it, you're just continuing the improv over this track and, you know, go with our blessing, which was kind of an awesome email to get. And we sent him the finished product, and it was like, I like it.
So if somebody does go see this movie this weekend, I'm sure a lot of people will, and I'm sure a lot of little kids will. I'm sure that one of the things that they will take away is that they should be nice to animals, even if they seem scary, that they're, you know, they're living things. But the other question I have for you is, what if they watch this movie and think, I want to make a cartoon movie when I grow up? What would your advice to them be?
Yeah, do it. I mean, Wayne and I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We went and saw movies like Jungle Book and Pinocchio and Lady and the Tramp. And we would dream of, like, I wonder if one day we could do this. And here we are. It's doable.
Wayne, what's it like being brothers and working together?
It's A lot of people ask that, and it's really, in our case,
I can leave now if you want to tell the truth. I can disengage here if you want.
Yes. No, it has been actually, in our case, relatively smooth. We've collaborated together our whole lives, really, on some level, maybe not to the extent that we did when we went into writing Something Rotten and this, but we have always dabbled in each other's careers.
I'm just reading the text that you sent me. It's a dream come true to work with my brother.
Yes, yes, yes.
Totally agree with that.
We have a mutual respect. I respect what Carrie does, and Carrie respects what he does.
That's Wayne Kirkpatrick and Carrie Kirkpatrick, who are behind the film Smallfoot, writer of the songs in the movie. And Carrie also directed, co-wrote the screenplay, and executive produced the film. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. But if it's ever gonna change, we gotta go.